Good morning, everyone. I want to make a quick announcement. If you were unable to attend the jam last night, but you still have some money that you want to donate and not burn, you can give it to Buzz or to Dusty. They'll be happy to receive that, and that money will go to an amazing cause in Bolivia. So it's nice to give money somewhere where you know it's going to be just really awesomely used. So I know we'd be generous in that regard. Well, man, I'll tell you what, I can't even tell you how honored I am to be here, you know, with all the leader type people aren't here. And, you know, they think they can trust me with the pulpit. Wow, that's a scary thought right there. So anyway, if I really screw up, don't tell them. And maybe we'll get to come back someday. I am a work in progress, aren't you? We are just a work in progress. And, I think we just have to bear with one another and trust each other's hearts at times, because sometimes I get up here and I don't have a clue what's going to come out of my mouth. And I haven't thought it through entirely, and there's going to be some gaps in it somewhere, and you're just going to have to go, well, bless his heart, you know, he did the best job he could. So, let's work together on this thing today. You know, I do strive to be real in my preaching. I want to just kind of lay it out there today. We're going to try to be real again. And not play church or anything like that. But I'd like to read a scripture before we begin the lesson. And I'm going to read it to you because it's from the Message Bible. And I know you think I'm shallow, but I am. And this just kind of makes sense to me. So these were Jesus' words. These words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They are foundational words, words to build a life on. If you work these words into your life, you are like a smart carpenter who built his house on solid rock. Rain poured down, the river flooded, a tornado hit, but nothing moved that house. It was fixed to the rock. But if you just use my words in Bible studies and don't work them into your life, you are like a stupid carpenter who built his house on the sandy beach, when the storm rolled in and the waves came up, it collapsed like a house of cards. You know, these are words to build a life on. Powerful words. And really, that's why Jesus came. He said, I came that you might have life and have it to the full. In fact, the Message Bible says, I came so that they may have real and eternal life, and a better life, more and better than they ever dreamed of. I mean, isn't that an amazing statement on Jesus' part? He said, that's what I came to give you. I did not come simply to forgive you of your sins. That's part of it, right? That's a big part of it. I didn't come here just to continually forgive your sins. Although, boy, aren't we glad he does, because I just keep on sinning. But he said, I came that you might have life. And that life doesn't mean we just keep getting forgiven and continually staying in the same place or struggling with the same sin year after year or decade after decade, because that's not life. He came that I might set you free from those sins, that you might be healed of those things. The thief, however, what did he come to do? To kill, to steal, and destroy. You know, when we all became Christians, we had a dream. And I'm going to get to that dream in a minute, but I want to read another scripture from 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. I read this about a week or so ago, and I went, wow, this just really describes the life that I want to live in Christ. And again, it's from the Message Bible, so don't try to read along with me, because you'll get confused. Here's how it goes. Now, as I read this, if you're taking notes, you might just jot down a phrase or a word that just sort of jumps out at you, because to me, there's a little theme going on here. I, Simon Peter, am a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. I write this to you, whose experience with God is as life-changing as ours, all due to our God's straight dealing and the intervention of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you many times over as you deepen in your experience with God and Jesus, the Master. Everything that goes into a life pleasing God has been miraculously given to us by getting to know personally and intimately the one who invited us to God, the best invitation we've ever received. We were also given absolutely terrific promises to pass on to you. Your tickets to participation in the life of God after you turned your back on a world corrupted by lust. So don't lose a minute in building on what you've been given, complementing your basic faith with good character, spiritual understanding, alert discipline, passionate patience, reverent wonder, warm friendliness, and generous love, each dimension fitting into and developing the others. With these qualities active and growing in your lives, no grass will grow under your feet. No day will pass without its reward. As you mature in your experience of our Master Jesus, without these qualities, you can't see what's right in front of you, oblivious that your old sinful life has been wiped off the books. So, friends, confirm God's invitation to you. His choice of you, don't put it off. Do it now. Do this, and you'll have your life on a firm footing, a rock, the streets paved, and the way wide open into the eternal kingdom of our Master and Savior, Jesus Christ. Isn't that an awesome passage? What are some of the words that just sort of like popped on you? Talk to me real quick. Huh?
Urgent.
Okay, urgent. Okay, do it now. Don't put it off. This is such an opportunity. This is the ticket of a lifetime. It's a ticket not to go watch the show, but to participate in the show. I'm not just getting in there and to watch other people do it. He says, God is giving you a ticket to participate in what? The life of God. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me, man? The life of God? That's my ticket? That's my invitation? Sign me up. And we did sign up, right? That's why you're here today. We signed up. You've gotten your ticket. Although you didn't really have to want to get in today, but it's just an experiencing the, what does he say? The life-changing experience with God. As you deepen in your experience with God. by getting to know personally and intimately the one who invited you. These qualities are active and growing in your lives. No day will pass without a reward as you mature in your experience of our Master Jesus. That's just pretty awesome, isn't it? I mean, Peter, of course, he was one of the guys who got to see Jesus in the flesh. We saw him with our own eyes. If we were ever able to witness Jesus Christ personally and to think that I've been invited to live that kind of a life, I mean, you know, we've seen some pretty impressive people in our life, right? I mean, there are some people who've really accomplished some things on this planet, but you have never met a sinless man before. You have never met a man whose life has been corrupted and stained and wounded by sin. Man, Jesus, he had it going on. So, this life, this exciting life that we're reading about here, you know, that just doesn't automatically happen, does it? You know, it just, I wish it did. I wish it was a wow, you know, I've been baptized. I've been forgiven of my sins. I have the Holy Spirit. I go to church every Sunday. I even get with people and have coffee. And we talk. But sometimes that doesn't really get us to what we're reading about here in 2 Peter chapter 1, this maturing, this ever-growing, this ever-deepening, life-changing experience that just seems to keep rolling forward. And it's because we have someone who is intent, whose sole purpose on this planet. See, our campaign today is to pull Satan's pants down. We're going to do pants on the ground on Satan today. Because he's the one who should be ashamed of himself. He's the one who should be ashamed of himself for what he is intent on trying to do, to steal from us, to kill and destroy the incredible opportunity that Jesus Christ died to provide for us, that he has miraculously given us everything we need for this life and godliness that God wants us to have. He's a very formidable adversary. The Bible describes him as, "And the great dragon was thrown down, the age-old serpent, who is called the devil and Satan, he who continually deceives and seduces the entire inhabited world." He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. You know, he has infiltrated and controlled every bit of advertising and promotional information on the planet, isn't he? Everywhere we turn, our hearts and minds, our eyes and ears are being infected and affected by this barrage of propaganda to lure us back, to lure us away from God. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 18, "With an appeal to twisted sexual desires, they lure back into sin those who have barely escaped from a lifestyle of deception. They promise freedom, but they themselves are slaves of sin and corruption, for you are a slave to whatever controls you." Did you ever feel that way? Man, I'm just barely getting away, and somebody's just trying to get their claws into me. I'm just barely out of this, and I can feel the heat. Ephesians 2, verse 1, "It wasn't so long ago that you were mired in that old stagnant life of sin. You let the world, which doesn't know the first thing about living, tell you how to live. Isn't that silly? Because we buy into it, right? We buy into all the advertising, all the things that make it look so great, so fun, so wonderful. He is a master of disguise who can literally masquerade as an angel of light. He can make darkness look so bright. There is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. John 8, verse 44. His intent is to sabotage our life. And for many of us, he started really early on. You had no say in it. You had no control over your situation or your life. Someone took advantage of you. Somebody abused you, mistreated you, spoke to you in an unkind and degrading ways. And, you know, Jim and Jency teach an amazing class on spiritual discovery, discovering the wounds that have been inflicted on us, that have a bearing on the decisions we make and the ways that we process things and the life that we live, the relationships that we have are forever affected by that. Where'd that come from? Who set that in course? Who's standing up there going, man, I got another one? It's our adversary. It's he who is out to kill and steal and destroy. And so for some of us, he started so early. Well, you know, we've made some progress, haven't we? We can go, yeah, you know, I'm not living that life anymore. Thank goodness. You know, you can read later on in 2 Peter chapter 2 or 3 and Romans chapter 1, you know, the description of our world. And we've been rescued from that, haven't we? Isn't that amazing? Aren't you glad we don't live just immersed in that lifestyle and in that environment anymore? We are in the family of God, and wow, what a different place it is. But, you know, to be honest with ourselves, I don't find myself or see myself in this life that Peter is describing here in 2 Peter chapter 1, this my life has changed, but it kind of has stopped changing. I've kind of matured, but I've kind of stopped maturing. I had all these dreams and expectations for myself. You know, Martin Luther King had this great speech called "I Have a Dream," and honestly, I can raise my hand on this. I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching from my own experience. The theme of my life for many years was not "I have a dream," but "I had a dream." I had one time. Yeah, Jesus said, you know, in this world you will have troubles. These storms are going to come your way. Not if, but when the storms come, I guarantee you, none of us are immune from them. None of us will get away without some storms hitting. And they may take you down for a while. It may take some time. He doesn't wave a magic wand over and make it better. You know, the parable of the soil says, he who hears the word retains it and perseveres. Produces a crop. And we're not talking about the number of people that you baptize into Christ. We're talking about this is the crop right here. This is the crop. 30, 60, and 100-fold love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Jesus is saying, believe me when I tell you I have the power and there is a way that the love that you're experiencing can be multiplied 30, 60, or 100 times in its depth, in its authenticity, in its realness, in its power. Your joy, gentleness, patience, he says, but this is a house that must be built. We're building a house, right? Let's build a house here. Let's build. These are words to build a life on. Let's get busy building that life. Now, let's turn over to Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. It's my hope that these things will help us recapture and live the dream, right? You hear all these people going, hell, how's it going? I'm living the dream. You ain't living nothing, pal. You don't even know what the dream is. Or you bought into the wrong dream. You're dreaming, but you ain't living the dream. God wants us to live the dream. Satan wants to destroy and corrupt and kill the dream. That's his goal. That's it. That's his sole purpose in our lives. So Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Now I've got 15 minutes. I'm just telling you, I got 15, not 10. Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome or caught or trapped or discovered in or by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Share each other's burdens, and in this way, obey the law of Christ. Message Bible says, live creatively, friends. If someone falls into sin, forgivingly restore him, saving your critical comments for yourself. There you go. That's what I'm talking about. Now you're preaching. You might be needing forgiveness before the day's out. You're going to be a Message Bible fan by the end of this sermon. Stoop down and reach out to those who are oppressed. Share their burdens. And so complete Christ's law. If you think you're too good for that, you're badly deceived. You know, I thought about, and I actually tried to find some videos of animals that have been trapped and caught. That would be, we don't want to do that. But that's literally what we experience sometimes. See, you're not a bad person. I don't care, you know, where you may be or what you may be up to or what you're struggling with. You are not a bad person. Satan is the bad guy. And his job is to lure us, to seduce us, to draw us into situations to the point in which we are trapped and that we cannot escape on our own. Right? That's a sad moment in our lives. And just imagine, just try in your mind's eye to imagine an animal, an innocent animal that has been trapped. Some of these traps would trap them underwater, and you would see them struggling for breath and take them several minutes to perish. And those are the feelings and the emotions we have when we become trapped. We didn't intend to get trapped, but we believe the lie for whatever reason. We experience sadness or loss or disappointment or anger or many other things that we could name, and we seek a solution to that. And many times the solution that is offered us is not God, because Satan tells us God is not enough. That's what the first lie, right? The first lie is God's holding out on you. And so he comes back with that lie. He said, yeah, I know you're sad. I know you're mad. I know you're disappointed. I know you're hurt. I know you feel betrayed. This will make you feel better. Come here. Try this. And snap, you know, it happens. It's exhausting. It's exhausting to deal with the emotional place we find ourselves. Sin separates us from God, right? But, you know, it also separates us from each other. It destroys intimacy. It creates isolation and loneliness. He lures us in with lies. This will make you feel better. There's nothing really wrong with this. No one will know. It's not hurting anyone. It's not that bad. Just once, just this far, just this. You can handle it. You can control it. And he keeps us there with lies. You're a bad person. You're a hypocrite. You're a fake. You should be way above this. What is wrong with you, man? I mean, how long have you been a Christian anyway? And you're struggling with this? What a joke. If people knew what you were up to, oh boy. Shame, guilt, fear, hiding, covering up, anxiety. You know, you'll lose your position if anybody knows what you're doing. Your reputation. Oh, man. Are you kidding me? These are not lies we tell ourselves. These are lies that Satan tells us. Don't blame yourself for those statements. Those are not lies you tell yourself. Those are lies that you are being told about you, and none of them are true. He holds you hostage with your reputation. You're being blackmailed by Satan himself. You can't change this. God can't change this. Well, you're not as bad as so-and-so, so, you know, it's okay. Or, well, you're not doing that. Well, it's just between you and the Lord. You can deal with this on your own. Any of those things sound familiar? I mean, those are the lies. I mean, you know, these are the things that we're being told. And the things that keep us a prisoner, keep us trapped. How do you know if someone is trapped? Let's go to James 5. You knew we'd probably go there, I hope. I hope you knew that. Okay. Man, I'm doing so good on my time. I can't even believe it. All right. Now, this is a Message Bible, too. This is a passage I was trying to think a few months ago. Man, the prayer thing has been so awesome. It has been so awesome in my personal life over the past almost 2 years. I'm going, man, well, where do you go from here? I'm asking God, what's the next step? How can I take my relationship with you deeper and my relationships with my brothers and sisters in Christ? How can I take this further? How can I experience God and all that He is and allow that life of God to be infused into my spirit and my body? Where can I go from here? This is a passage that came to my mind. Message Bible, James 5:16. Make this your common practice. Now, that's not in the real Bible. Confess your sins to each other. You know, that what got my attention was, make this your common practice. I'm going, what? Common practice? When is the last time I confessed any of my sins to anybody? Your guess is as good as mine. That's not a common practice for me. When's the last time someone entrusted their lives to me enough to go, Steve, I'm struggling. I'm trapped. Pray for me. When's the last time that happened? Well, it might have happened in some vague, general way in which I can't even, what's he really saying? And so it dawned on me, this is not my common practice. And it hasn't been my common experience in church. I have people that I love, and I think they love me most of the time. But we're still living in these separate worlds. And the words to build a life on include, make this your common practice. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you can live together, whole and healed. I don't have to confess my sins to another person to be forgiven. You know, it's not the Catholic Church. It's not a forgiveness issue. But it is, for some of us, the jaws of life. And what James is encouraging us all to do is, if you want to be free, you cannot free yourself. And, you know, this is a hard statement to say, and it may not be true. So, you know, examine your Bible daily to see if what Gooch says is true. You and Jesus cannot get you free. Okay, I know you're going to get, and I'm not sure that's really true or not. But if it was true, there would be no church. There would be no fellowship. There would be no family. We need each other. And he said, confess your sins. If you're trapped, raise your hand. I don't care how long you've been trapped. I don't care how deeply trapped you may be. It doesn't make any difference. Jesus Christ has conquered sin and death for you. He can redeem you. He can raise you up. He can transform you from someone who was such a slave to your pornography or your alcohol or your drugs or your anger or your bitterness or whatever it may be. Something may have such a grip on you. I mean, the first opportunity you have it, you're out the door and heading down that road. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ can take that enslavement and set you free. He can set you free. He can transform your spirit to the point where there were opportunities and situations that came up that would have just snatched you up. And you don't even feel them anymore. How is that possible? It is possible by the power of the Holy Spirit. It is possible. And the years that you have lost will be given back to you. There's a scripture that says that. I just couldn't figure out where it was. There is. I mean, I ain't kidding you. The years that you have lost will be given back to you. I can say that about Betsy and I. I wish I had had the wherewithal to put these words into practice in my life as a young man, as a young husband, and a young father, and I didn't. And I regret that. And we lost some years, but I'm telling you, God's given those back to us. He has given those back to us. It's a miracle. He goes on to talk about the prayer of a person living right with God is something powerful to be reckoned with. Elijah, for instance, a human, just like us, prayed hard that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't. Then he rained, he prayed, and it would. What's that all about? Who cares if it rains or doesn't rain? We have the power to set someone free from their sins by our prayers. That's how powerful. He said, you can't even begin to understand how powerful your prayers are. I don't know. This may be another thing that's not true, but I'm going to say it anyway. You know, Jesus, when he wanted to cast out the demon, he said, "What's your name, man?" "Oh, my name is Legion." "Okay, I just want to know who I'm dealing with." "Be gone." "There's a lot of us here. It doesn't make any difference. Get out of here." You know, I think this may not be true either, but I'm going to say it anyway. I think specific prayer is very powerful. I think somebody would say, "Pray for me." Well, I'm going to go, "Well, yeah, well, tell me, give me more." Because I want to pray on something. I want to put my head down and I want to draw a target on that thing. I'm going, that thing is going right there, and that's where I'm going with my prayers and the power of the Holy Spirit. We are going to demolish that stronghold in that brother's life. I mean, you start getting those smart bomb prayers going, something wonderful is going to happen. Believe me. Oh, man. All right. So, some suggestions. Don't corner somebody and ask them to confess their sins to you. "Brother, sister, tell me now. I know something's going on. I can just tell." Or, "Don't you have something to share with me?" You know, wives cannot badger their husbands into a right relationship with God. I can't corner somebody into wanting to be a different person. Hopefully I can try to strive to be an example and I can pray for them. The Holy Spirit, it's got to be a movement of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment, not you. Find a friend, a peer. He said, confess your sins to each other, not to Jim or Steve. Find a peer. Find someone that you love and that you trust and that will take what you're about to share with them as something very sacred. and that is their story to tell, not yours. You violate that, you're going to be in big trouble, buddy. With the Lord, I believe. I don't think he'll look very kindly on that. So you take that as a sacred trust on their part. Don't feel like you must confess every sin or struggle you have, or we would be here a long time. But if you are in a dangerous place, or if you are trapped, go to somebody and say, you know, I've been down this road before, and I can just feel it. I can just feel it. And it scares me because I know where it has led or could lead. Pray for me. Strive to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God. Just pray for me. I'm struggling. I mean, you know, so it's a matter of I don't know what confession does. I know it takes something away from you, doesn't it? Because I finally talked to somebody about it. Okay, we're going to do this. I've got help. They're not looking down on me. What can I expect? I can expect a huge burden to be lifted. No more secrets. Yay. Thank you, God. Thank you. The effort, the toll it takes to cover up, to evade, to act, to pretend that everything's okay is exhausting. You can expect a clear conscience. Yeah, you know, we know God forgives us, right? We know he forgives us. But when we just keep, when we're there, there's something about confession that just goes, I can breathe again. That burden is taken off of me. I can expect compassion. I can expect companionship, because many times that person is going to go, me too. Gosh, I'm glad you said that. Let's help each other. You will come up with a battle plan, a change of strategy. Your conversation and your prayers, believe me, with God will change. That's the most important thing. You will start to come alive spiritually. Times of refreshing will come from the Lord. Okay, so what are we going to do with this? You know, the first parable, the soil, says that the word was thrown and a bird came, snatched it up, and it was gone. And, you know, that's a possibility. We could hear this today and go, by this afternoon, it's gone. That word is going to be cast on you, and believe me, there's a fight ahead. It's not a magic wand. It's not going to change instantly. There's going to be some times of testing. And in some of those cases, people will just go back. There are those that are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures. You know, you choke something, they can't get air. Blood circulation goes. They're cutting off the life-giving, the source of life. And so our worries, our anxieties, our fears, and Betsy and I were talking about this week, just, you know, that I think we all experience those, but maybe women experience those more than men, their fears, their anxieties are choking them. And he says they do not mature. Worries, riches, pleasures. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear it, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop or build a life. I love you guys. God bless you.